I'm Jeff Wuntz, and welcome to Advances in Eye Care, Spring 2016. Following our special referrals edition last year, this is the first in our new revamped Advances in Eye Care format. We're going to be using it to keep you up to date every quarter with the latest developments and research in optometric practice. We'll be interviewing and talking to leading experts on the forefront of advances in optometry and offering you the chance to earn CET points. In this edition of Advances in Eye Care, we focus on a variety of issues associated with low vision before taking a closer look at the Medicines Use Review Service offered by pharmacists. We begin by exploring a method of testing dark adaptation, which may offer a new approach for the early detection of AMD. Following this, we move on to examine the relationship between sight loss and comorbidity, before considering the efficacy of eccentric viewing techniques as a coping strategy for central vision loss. Finally, to a discussion of the medicine's use review process and how it should help optometrists when dealing with patients' concerns over their current medication. Previous interviews are available at the new Docket website in the audio library section. You can also access a distance learning CET exercise relating to this edition of Advances in Eye Care. And one further change, the popular quarterly review is being revamped and will reappear in our next program. The papers discussed will be themed and we'll be introducing guest expert reviewers. If you'd like to opt in to receive a CD version of this Advances in Eye Care, please log into the Docket CET area on the Docket website and sign up online. We'd also like to hear your views on the program. To provide feedback, simply email inquiries@docket.info. We discuss age-related macular degeneration regularly on this program. As the leading cause of vision loss in the elderly, it affects more than 600,000 people in the UK, with an estimated one in every three of us over the age of 65 displaying some degree of the disease. As with any degenerative condition, early intervention is vital to ensure fast treatment and slow its development. Dr. Ian Murray, a senior lecturer at the University of Manchester, has conducted extensive research on night vision, or dark adaptation, in early stage AMD. Dark adaptation has been shown to be selectively impaired in patients with early stage AMD, even in those with normal visual acuity. Here, Dr. Murray explores the implications of this research and whether it will impact our work in primary eye care anytime soon.
We're all familiar with the phenomenon that if we're plunged into darkness after being exposed to a very bright light, we are temporarily virtually blinded, but slowly our vision recovers. This process is mediated by our rod photoreceptors, as most will know, and we can measure the recovery of the sensitivity as a function of time, and we find that the so-called dark adaptation curve has got two components to it. The first early component is mediated by cone photoreceptors. There's a slight pause until the rods take over the recovery process, and they relatively rapidly improve our sensitivity. The whole thing takes around 30 minutes. This is now quite well documented in the literature that as the eye gets older, its ability to recover sensitivity in the dark after a bleach is impeded, and there's a slow decade by decade impairment in our speed of recovery. That's quite well documented, and we in Manchester have published two or three papers on this effect now. What is not so well known is the effects in early stage macular disease, where of course the patients have quite normal visual acuity. Photopic vision is quite normal, but when we do the dark adaptation test with patients who have got macular disease, early stage disease, defined by the fact that they might have so-called drusen around the macular region, then we find they are very, very slow. And in those cases, it takes perhaps three quarters of an hour, in some cases an hour, or in some cases an hour and a half, for those eyes to recover complete sensitivity. So there's a big difference between the patients who've got macular disease and those with moderate changes just due to their age who have a normal retina. Fundamentally, sensitivity recovery depends on the ability of the eye to replenish the rhodopsin in the rod outer segments. This replenishment process takes quite a long time because after the bleach, because we always bleach if we're going to use the dark adaptation process, after the bleach, the rhodopsin is desensitized. So then the rods have to replenish their levels of rhodopsin, and they do that by a regeneration process which involves the pigment epithelium, the outer layer, the non-sensory outer layer of the retina. The layers of the retina between the outer segments of the photoreceptors and the pigment epithelium therefore act as a conduit for this exchange of metabolic material. This is a highly active process, uses lots of energy, and if it's impeded, as it is in early stage macular degeneration, then we find that the ability of the rods to obtain, regenerate their fresh rhodopsin is much slower. The waste material accumulates, as most know, in the form of drusen. Drusen appear on the layers between the rod outer segments and the retinal pigment epithelium, classically in Bruch's membrane, and they are the product of the disposal and renewal process which is involved in the rod and cone outer segment replacement. So the rods and the cones, rods of course many more rods than cones, and so they are the primary source of waste material accumulation. The rods shed their outer segments. The products of this shedding process are phagocytized in the retinal pigment epithelium, but as the eye gets older, and certainly in the case of macular degeneration, there's products which are quite toxic which are allowed to accumulate in the outer layers. And we see these in fundus photographs, for example, as drusen. And if they're large, soft, so-called confluent drusen, these carry a very high risk of the development of more severe cases of the disease. Of course, if we do dark adaptation on the patients who've got these well-developed drusen deposits, then we can be confident that all of them will have some level of slowed dark adaptation. As everyone will know, dark adaptation isn't a new process. In the 20s and 30s and 40s, last century, there were one or two devices available which allowed the measurement of the improvement of sensitivity. But these were rather slow and burdensome on the patients. There was a 5-minute exposure to a bright light, and then perhaps 30 minutes or 40 minutes time to recover sensitivity, which was plotted using an analog technique. And therefore not very popular. Although most eye hospitals have a dark adaptometer, the technique wasn't very popular, and to this day isn't used, even though there's quite a lot of demand. There's conditions such as nyctalopia, of course, where it would be very useful to be able to measure. We've developed a totally new device called Rapida. Rapida stands for Rapid Dark Adaptation. The method is very quick, it's comfortable and easy for patients to use, and it's relatively mobile. It's quite small, neat device. So the technique we've developed is digital. It doesn't involve looking at a very bright light for 4 minutes. On the contrary, that the eye is exposed to a very short duration flash of light, which bleaches only a small, can we say, perhaps 50% of the rhodopsin, so that it doesn't take so long to recover the sensitivity. In addition to that, the technique uses a quite sophisticated curve fitting technique, which means within 10 minutes or so of the exposure to the flash, we can have a measure of the rod-mediated sensitivity recovery rate. So the interesting measurement here is the how quickly are the rods able to replenish their depleted levels of rhodopsin. And we have got the technique so that we can complete this measurement within 10, maximum 15 minutes. One of the important issues in early AMD is that the patients are unaware of any changes in their vision. So if we can have a technique which is specific to the abnormality which occurs in the very early stages of the disease, then we've got a very useful way of identifying the presence of the disease. Now, as I said earlier, there's strong evidence that almost all the patients who have drusen of a particular type will have impaired dark adaptation. And so it's very useful to be able to detect the disease early so that you can advise the patient of what they might do in terms of lifestyle, in terms of cardiovascular disease, all those different factors which affect the development of the disease could be modified if there's a positive diagnosis. And the positive diagnosis would be based on function in the case of dark adaptation. It wouldn't necessarily be based on a fundus photograph or an OCT image. So there's a discrepancy here between what we see in our imaging and what the patient actually experiences. And here we've got a hidden visual defect, if you like. We've got a defect of which the patient isn't aware. And so all you can say to your patient is, we've got signs of aging on the retina, and we don't know whether it's of clinical significance or not. We can't necessarily predict with any confidence the prognosis for the development of this defect, which is only appearing on a photograph. You could argue that in some cases it might be better if the patients don't know about the appearance of their drusen. However, if we've got a corresponding hidden visual defect, as I said earlier, then it's important that the practitioner and the patient are aware of those. Because the device is very quickly provides information about the integrity of the rod photoreceptors, we anticipate it being useful in the investigation of conditions such as nyctalopia and, of course, retinitis pigmentosa and many other conditions where rods are selectively damaged, as they are in macular degeneration. But of course, the techniques available before Rapida haven't been very useful or friendly for patients to use. And so a lot of these conditions haven't been properly explored. For example, it's well known that anybody who has abnormal nutrition or nutritional changes such as those associated with vitamin A deficiency have abnormal rod function. Alcoholics are another example where the performance of the rods is impeded by vitamin A deficiency linked problem to do with liver function, of course. And so there are a wide range of conditions which we don't know very much about as far as scotopic or rod function is concerned, and having an easy to use will be very valuable. We think that once the device is introduced into clinics, there'll be many applications which hadn't been previously thought about. Crohn's disease, cystic fibrosis, all of those conditions affect the metabolism of vitamin A. One other point that we might mention, of course, many people report to the practice and to many clinics thinking that they have abnormal dark adaptation. And if they also have some mild drusen, then it might be possible to allay the fears of those patients, because we can use the device to reassure the patients that in fact their dark adaptation for their age is perfectly normal. And lots of people appear to be uncomfortable about night vision. Night driving problems are very common, and it would be very useful if the patients could be reassured that their eyes are perfectly normal for their particular age group. Once ophthalmologists have identified the value of the technique, the fact that it provides complementary information to the imaging, then because the test is designed for quick, easy, relatively comfortable use in an eye clinic, then I think there's a very strong case for it being used widely in the optometric profession. There are some clinical trials ongoing at present. We're planning one more, and I know that colleagues in America are planning another one. And so once the technique is established in the clinic, I would have thought within a year, then the device will be available outside of the NHS.
Thank you, Ian.